Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yeah, this is a story of things done.
All right, it's another edition of Locked On Kings, as it's actually time for preseason basketball. The Kings and Spurs get going on Monday night, and the kind of quick preseason schedule, we'll go through it. And then, of course, the regular season is almost here, but let's get a little in-depth on what's going on with the Sacramento Kings, a quick run through camp with the guy that covers the Kings on a daily basis for the Sacramento Bee, and that is Jason Jones. Jason, I guess we all had a little bit of a break, but not much. This whole stuff for the season seems to go like 12 months. Did you really even get a break from basketball at all?
I guess I technically did, but it never really felt like it, because even when I was off, there was still so much news going on that, you know, you're supposed to be off and taking time off. You've got to check to see what's going on with Kyrie and everything, and you're kind of just following everything still. So, yeah, I had a break, but it's like coming back to practice last week, it didn't even feel like I'd been gone. It didn't feel like, wow, it's been a long time since I've seen you guys.
Yeah, I bet. And we're going to get into some of the new faces, obviously, here in a moment. One thing that did happen newsworthy, at least last week, late in the week, the Kings announced that they have extended Vlade Divac, extended Dave Joerger. You've covered this team, and it's been nothing but unstable. Now it looks like there's finally some stability. What was your opinion of the move to extend both of those guys?
Well, I thought they owed Joerger that, because when they changed the team last year, he ended up coaching a team that was completely different. And he went from having a chance to make the playoffs to knowing that for the next few years the playoffs are kind of going to be, you know, a dream.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that if you're going to make a change like that, you've got to give the coach who's in place the full, you know, the full, at least his full contract to try to make this thing work, because all the changes and progress and things he had put in for the first, you know, almost 60 games all went to nothing when DeMarcus was traded. So now you're essentially starting all over again. So to me, you could probably did that earlier, in my opinion. And then with Vlade, I mean, if you trusted him this long to make the moves that he's made, you might as well sync him up with the coach and then say, okay, you know, you guys are in this together. You know, we'll see what's going to happen, because it would be silly to let him trade DeMarcus and then let him go in a year.
Right.
I mean, it would just be silly. But the only thing about this organization has been in the past few years is that that's the kind of thing they would do. So it's good that you could see that, you know what, they're not going to do things like that anymore. So, I mean, there was a time where you would say, you know what, whatever crazy is going to happen, expect them to do. But I guess maybe they'll leave some of that craziness to the Knicks or whatever team is, or whatever other team is going to be the team that wants to do, you know, have shenanigans all the time. They'll leave that to that team and just try to go about doing this thing the right way.
Yeah, let it be someone else for a change. And I'm curious, just again, you cover this team, you cover the front office, you cover all these moves they've made. Basically, since the season ended to where we are now, what have you thought of what they have done? Because it really is, via the draft, via free agency, a few signings here and there, it's a completely different team. What do you think of the roster they have going into 2017-2018?
You know, besides the obvious, they're really, really young. I mean, they've got a nice young core. Maybe they've got too many young guys. I mean, I might be the minority of thinking that, but, as somebody told me back in the summer, there's a reason why teams don't like having four first-round picks in the same year. It's hard to develop, it's tough enough to develop one or two young guys. They're talking about developing nine of them at the same time, so that's going to be a task for a coaching staff. But, you know, they've committed to it, so I like the fact they've committed to a plan, because one of my criticisms has always been is, what's the plan?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was almost like they were half into rebuilding, but half in trying to win right now, and it was this constant battle. We don't know what we want to be. And it was like, commit to something. Just commit to something and stick with it. So I like they seem to have committed to what they're going to be. And then from there, I mean, you know, like I said, I like Justin Jackson a lot. I like a lot of the pieces they've added. I like they've put some veterans around these young guys, because one of the reasons why some of their young guys in the past suffered was that there wasn't a structure for those guys to succeed available. I mean, you dropped off guys like, you know, Tyreek, DeMarcus, you know, all those guys got dropped off in very unstable situations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it be moving, you know, what city are we going to play in next season? Oh, we're changing coaches again. Oh, the front, you know, there was just so much going on. It was, I mean, there was a reason why scout, you know, agents and players didn't want to come to Sacramento. They knew that, that it was just not a good place for a young guy to be. You know, I think back to Nick Stauskas' rookie year, and Rudy Gay kept, he said it more than once. It's tough on me. I can't imagine being a rookie and having to go through all this. So
mm-hmm.
I just like they finally built a roster to give these young guys some veterans they can look at, some veterans with some credibility that they can listen to, and guys who want to be leaders. I mean, I think one of the problems they've had in the past is that they brought in vets, but they weren't the kind of vets who were going to be vocal guys to help the young guys. Not because they're, you know, out of any, you know, ill intent or being malicious. That's just not who they were. I think about the, when they brought John Salmons in to be a leader and a vocal leader, and John's not a talker.
Right.
So, you know, you had a lot of mistakes like that, but you brought in some, you know, Vince is a guy who wants to be a, that's what he does. You know, Zeebo's a guy who wants to pull these young guys aside and work with them. So I like how they, the type of vets they put around these young guys. You already had Gary here. So you've got a nice, you know, core support guys in terms of the veterans.
Yeah, for sure.
So they're going to take their lumps, but at least, you know, they're going in a direction. I don't know how it'll end up, but they're going in a direction now.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely with you on that, Jason. How about, you know, the roster's pretty full with guys either signed, under contract. There was kind of two late additions, one to camp in Matt Jones, the other one in Marcus Williams. Do either of these two guys have, you know, everybody is in camp is trying to compete, but it seems like so much is kind of solidified. What are the opportunities for either of those two guys?
Well, I think with a guy like Matt's opportunity is going to be Reno.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, his deal has a partial guarantee, which basically means they're going to give him some extra spending change to play for the Bighorn. And then that's another thing they're doing right, finally. They're using the G League team correctly. You know, you're sending the young guys down there to get the experience that they're not going to play. I mean, they're doing a lot of things, you know, the right way now. You know, and I think, you know, bringing a guy like Matt Jones, you know, you give him, you know, like I said, you know, a small partial guarantee, you know, but he can go down there, play in the G League, and then maybe when some guys come off the books next year, maybe he's a guy that you bring back next year as a two-way guy, or he's a guy you bring back to actually be on your roster. So they're starting to kind of develop things from the bottom up, and I think the way you look at a guy like Marcus Williams, the way Jaeger described him, you know, the way their preseason schedule works out, they got a bunch of games. They got like a 3 and 4 nights in the preseason, which is, I'm sitting there looking at the schedule myself going, why are they doing this to me?
Right, right.
three games and 4 nights in 3 different cities, and I have no idea why teams in the West Coast schedule preseason games outside of their time zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think the Kings should ever go past Vegas for the preseason. But I guess I'll get my, you know, my go to my favorite Tex-Mex restaurant in San Antonio. But
there you go.
You know, yes, you know. But I think, you know, this, you know, Marcus is a guy that way they don't have to play, you know, run George into the ground during the preseason. He knows what Dave likes. He's been around Dave. So, you know, maybe in a couple of fourth quarters, you know, rather than have George Hill out there, or have, you know, you can still have a vet to play with those rookies. So he's a key, he's a camp guy, and maybe at some point if someone gets hurt during the season or something, maybe you make a deal, you have an open spot, maybe you look to bring him back at some point. But, I mean, this roster is pretty much set, you know, 1 mm-hmm. through 17 with their 15 guys, and there are two-way players.
I know you're kind of focusing in here on pace, this team's pace of play. Last year, it made a little sense to not be as quick of a team because DeMarcus, their best player, you're going to get him involved and get him as many touches now that he's gone and a roster filled with young guys. Do you think they will have more of an emphasis on kind of that pace and moving the ball up and down a little bit quicker?
Yeah, I mean, they went to it after the trade last year. And, you know, one of the things about the whole pace talk going back to, you know, 2014 about it, what always made it weird was that at that point, up until last season, their two best players, DeMarcus and Rudy, that wasn't the style of play they were best in.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always kind of a weird thing to try. You know, you got two, it's basically, of the strongest players at their position in the league, and you're trying to run up and down with them. And you're, you know, in essence, in some ways, giving the defense a break. So now, but now with this team, you have to do that just because when you get into the half court, you know, are these guys experienced enough to execute and, you know, make the right decisions in the half court? You know, one way you make it for a young guy, say, if we run and get you know, plenty of easy open looks, that cuts down decision-making. I think the one thing Dave said, you know, in the half court, instead of giving a guy five options, you give him one or two options. Mm-hmm. So this is a good way to simplify things. And I think one of the misnomers, you know, if you look at last season, the two top teams in pace were two young teams that lost a lot. That was Phoenix and Brooklyn. So, I mean, it's good. They, like I said, they know what they want to be. They know what they want to do. But on the other hand, it's still not going to – playing faster isn't going to make, you know, accelerate the winning process. There's still going to be a learning curve for these guys. So I just think they've got to play that way because you look at, you know, they're big. None of their bigs are outside of Zebo or real kind of throw it in the block and let them work type guys.
Yeah.
You know, I think Willie can face up against, you know, well, Scal can face up. So you've got bigs who can run. So you might as well take advantage of that. And I think that's the way. I mean, that's the way they want to play. It makes sense for them to play that way. And then, you know, you got Fox and Hill and Justin Jackson and all these guys. You got to kind of just get them an open floor and let them do what they can do and, you know, space the floor and attack.
What position battle? Because I think there's some pretty good camp position battles for starting role, for minutes, for key rotation spots. What's one intrigues you the most, or a couple intrigue you the most?
First shooting guard. I mean, you know, Buddy Hield came over much heralded. Every, you know, that was at that point, that was the key piece to the DeMarcus trade they got back was Buddy. So you've got him. You bring over Bogdanovich, and you don't give him $9 million a year not to play. You know, you still got Garrett Temple who can play that spot. So then you got, you know, Malachi Richardson, who's probably going to end up playing more three now. You know, so, I mean, those minutes at the two spot are going to be tough to find. And you add into the fact that there's going to be times where they want to play De'Aaron and George Hill together, which means George will be playing more two. That's even less minutes at that two-guard spot. So whoever gets that two-guard spot, you know, they can't really let up all season because those minutes are going to be hard to hold on to.
Yeah.
Then kind of the same thing with the three spot. You know, I think Justin Jackson is a natural three, but, you know, do you slide Garrett down there some? Do you, you know, do you give you give Vince Carter some of those minutes? You know, Malachi might have to, you know, that might be Malachi Richardson's best chance to get minutes will be at the three. So those two wing spots are going to be tough, and it's weird because going into last season, all they had were a bunch of big guys.
Right.
So now it's like it's completely flipped, and it's like, wow, you've got all these little and all these wing players when that's always been like a weak spot for them over the last almost decade or so.
Yeah, last year, the three, I mean, to start the year is Rudy, obviously one of the better guys at that position, Barnes, Omri Caspi. Omri couldn't really crack the lineup. They'd maybe slide Tolliver there some, Temple. It was just overloaded. Now they're trying to figure out which guy will do it. And I think that's the other thing, Jason. The team is deep, but there's not a lot of high-level players. There's going to be some decent guys that probably deserve to play, but that won't. I mean, who do you think might be some of the guys kind of left out of the rotation, at least at the beginning?
Yes, I mean, it's hard to figure out not having seen them play just yet, but I could easily see Malachi not, you know, being one of those guys left out. I don't know how in the world you find Frank Mason minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how you do that. You know,
Yeah,
you know, you look at a guy like Harry Giles, you know,
sure.
I've heard he looked good in practice, but where do you play him? I mean, where is he going to steal minutes at? You know, Papianis, I don't see how he gets on the floor. So I mean, yeah, they've got, you know, and even with a guy like Costa, you know, if you're going to play Willie, you know, a lot of minutes, you know, there, at some point, do you go small? And then, you know, do you maybe steal some minutes with Zach at the five sometime? So there's going to be some guys where you kind of say, hey, I wonder why he's not playing anything. Even Dave has kind of acknowledged that already, that there's going to be nights where he just sits a guy out, not because the guy did anything wrong, but he wants to give another guy a chance to play. And he doesn't want to do the thing where you're playing, you know, three guys, you know, 13, you know, 18, you know, you don't want to do a thing like that where you're divvying up the minutes between three guys at a spot. So there's going to be nights where, like I said, if you could see, you know, those guys, and it does help that you got a guy like Zach who's an older guy, or a guy like Vince, where I think is once, or, you know, every five or six games, you give that guy the night off. I don't think that guy would, you know, protest, you know, too much because, you know, you're 36, 40 years old. You might not mind having that night off. But, yeah, there's going to be some nights where there's going to be some pot nose and people that the fans like. I can definitely see Mason being one of those guys where the fans are going to want to see him play, but there's not going to be the minutes for him.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a tough spot for Coach. One last thing I want to ask you about, something we've debated on the radio, too, where, you know, the last couple of years, this has been an easy question. The best player on the team has been DeMarcus Cousins. Well, if I asked you that now, I know, I think ESPN and SI had their top 100, and George Hill was the only king inside of there. But who do you think right now is the best player on the Sacramento Kings?
I mean, this is going to sound kind of funny. I mean, do they have a best player?
I know. That's why it's a tough one. It's not clear cut.
And I'm not even trying to be funny, but do they have, I mean... I mean, I guess I would, I mean, if I had to look at, you know, 1 through 15, look at, you know, the ages of everyone, I'd say George Hill is their best player, which makes this season kind of tricky, because your number one draft pick plays the same position as the legit best player on your team. And that's why I think I wrote a week ago that's why I didn't think it would be wise to assume De'Aaron would start. I mean, George Hill's a better player than him.
Yeah.
You know, will he be a better player than him 3 years from now? No. Who knows? Probably not. You know, George will be up in age, and at that point you assume De'Aaron will be ready, you know, to break out. But right now, George probably is their best player. And even I don't recall where he was on that list, but I imagine he wasn't, like, in the top 50. So, you know, it's a... Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a different thing. You know, I think, you know, some of those fans and some of the media folks we know who clamored for this don't give the ball to DeMarcus all the time type offense or style of play, they're going to see what it looks like when you don't have that star guy. You know, and I think kind of they always say, well, look how the Warriors do it. The Warriors are sharing the ball between four all-stars.
Exactly.
So it's a little bit different when the ball ends up with one of them. You know, so I hate it when people come to me with, well, why can't we play like the Warriors? I said, well, when the ball has a choice between Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, you know, Kevin Durant, Andre Iguodala,
yeah. I mean,
when those are your chances where the ball's going to end up, you can afford to play like that. But to me, I thought in a lot of ways, DeMarcus and Rudy took a lot of unfair criticism because people would be like, well, why do they get the ball so much? Well, who do you want to have the ball? So I think now those people who clamored for all that, they're going to see it. And then by the end of the year, some of those same people will be saying, well, we got to get us a guy. We need a guy to finish the game. So it's going to be a learning process. And, you know, I'm not going to fault the kids for struggling because they're supposed to struggle. You know, you got nine guys in their first or second year. And then I always throw Willie in there. Willie's only in his third year.
Correct.
He's been around forever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got 10 guys on rookie contracts. That's the recipe for a lot of losses. So, you know, I just hope that everyone can be patient with these guys and understand that, you know what, there's going to be some ugly nights out there. But it's part of the process, and just hope that, you know, the fan, and more importantly for those players, that management and ownership is patient with them as well and understand that we can't have another situation where we had the past couple of coaches where it didn't work after 100 games.
Mm-hmm.
Let's clean house again and change things up. You got to go ahead and, you know, take your lumps and then hope that in 2020, you're ready to be around that eighth seed.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, hopefully, I'll be anxious, Jason, the first time they're in that close game down at the wire. Who the ball, whose hands, you know, has it? Who has the ball at the end of a game? That'll be a tough choice for Coach Yeager.
My guess would be Zeebo.
Yeah, I think so too. I do too. Or some sort of pick and roll, or pick, you know, with him and Hill, and you know, you can have other guys that end up with it, but maybe it's designed with those two, and then you know, see where it goes from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be fun to see how it all shakes out. Jason, we look forward to another season talking to you on our podcast as well and seeing you out the arena. Thank you for the time, and we'll see you.
No problem. See you on Monday.
Jason Jones from the Sacramento Bee joining us, of course, the beat writer covering the Kings on a daily basis, has covered them for years and knows his Kings and the NBA. We thank him for joining us. We thank you for listening as well, as we're back for a full week of podcasts again every day, Monday through Friday. Let everybody know we're out there. Listen to us on demand when you want on iTunes, Google Play, Audio Boomer, Stitcher. It's all free content, and we do thank you for listening, hopefully on a daily basis. And we hope you continue to listen all week long as we're back with more editions, including a recap on Tuesday of the Monday night preseason game. The Kings open up their preseason against the Spurs on Monday night. We'll recap that for you on our Tuesday podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks again to Jason Jones. Back again tomorrow with another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.